Parashas Kisavoy. Parashas Kisavoy is the second to last Shabbos in the year. Next, that's why we lay Chazal. Ezra HaSofer was Misakin. The Kriyas HaTorah this week goes all the way back from the time of Ezra HaSofer. He was Misakin and Mishalim the Teichacha in Parashas Kisavoy before Rosh Hashanah. And the Teichacha in Parashas Bichukosai before Shavuos. Tichle shana v'kililoy seha. That all the klolos should come to an end, and we should start the new year on a fresh note. We should, all of the problems of the previous year should come to an end. So this, the Kriyas HaTorah, it's not so posh. This is a Kriyas HaTorah that has a makar. The fact that we lay in Kisavai, this is serious business. Other lanings, you know, it's not much yaftling this parsha, that parsha. We manipulate the parshios through the year that should fit into the calendar. But this is something very serious. It has to be lain this week. We don't lain it the week before, that's too close. We lain it, it's lain precisely 2 weeks before, and it goes all the way back. It's a unique Kriya Ezra HaSofer. Now, before we come to the Teicha, we have first a very beautiful mitzvah, the mitzvah of Bikurim. Let us spend some time on the mitzvah of Bikurim. We all know the mitzvah, Hoyaki Savay La'aretz, come to Eretz Yisrael, and a mitzvah which only applies Magich L'Rashi, says from the Schaivu Bikurim, Ka'ad Shukav Shuras La'aretz, until they conquered the land and the Chalkun, they divided the land. A farmer goes out into the field, he plants his crops, and as the fruits begin to blossom, it only applies to the Shiva Saminim. He ties a blade of grass around a fruit to indicate that this is the Bikurim. And then it fully blossoms, he takes it, puts it in the basket, and he brings it to Yerushalayim, and he presents it to the Kohen. He recites a series of psukim that we are very familiar with from the Haggadah, Arami Oved Avi, which is a synopsis of Jewish history. He puts before the Mizbeach, and it's given as a gift to the Kohen. The Kohanim, part of their parnasa, came from the Bikurim. Kohanim do not have an Eretz Yisrael, they do not have any land, they do not have an income, and part of their support comes from Truma, Trumas Meiser, Manas Kohuna, the Zeloya Lichayayim V'Akeva, and the Basar Besar Korbonos, Maisa Sheni, partially, and from the Bikurim. So in essence, when you present the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Kohen, you're really giving charity. You're giving a gift. A gift. Okay, you're giving a gift to support the Kohanim. Now when you give a check, think about this, Rabbi. So when you go and an organization calls you up and says, you know, last year you gave a donation, could you be so kind to repeat? You repeat and give a little bonus. Inflation, the costs have gone up. Can you give a little bit more? And you, out of the goodness of your heart, you write out a check and you give them the check. How do you feel? Who's giving who? Who did who the favor? I did you the favor. I took from my hard-earned money, I labored away, sweated away. I should really be giving this money to my wife, to my children, or I should enjoy it myself. And instead, I'm taking this amount of money, I'm giving it to you, to this organization, to you, to support you for whatever you need it for. Who's doing who the favor? I am doing you the favor. Let's not forget that. Isn't that the attitude that we live with? So what would we would expect? Here, when you bring the Bikurim to the Kohen, Uvasoy la'Kohen Asheyeh Bayam Mohem, okay, you make this entire statement, and then you come to the Kohen and you say, oh, he gadeti hayoyim la'Hashem elokecha ki vasi el ha'aretz asher nishpa Hashem la'vaseinu loses lanu. And then it says, v'lokach HaKohen HaTene MiYodech. The Kohen takes it. When you take it, it should say that you give it. Yitain. The Yitain. LaKohen. The Pasuk should be written from the perspective of the farmer, that the father now comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he gives his Bikurim to the Kohen.
as a gift. And yet it says, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen, he takes it.
V'lokach ha-Kohen ha-Tene li-Yodecha. Well, that's not Derech Eretz. My high. So this question is asked by many commentators, and I saw in the Sefer, we use Sefer a lot lately, called Ginzei Nistorim, he says a fascinating answer. And I want to develop what he says a little bit more, but basically he says the basic insight is that when you give tzedakah, if you give tzedakah with the attitude that I am doing you a favor, then you've missed out on the mitzvah of tzedakah. When you come to give tzedakah, the attitude must be, you are doing me the favor. This money that I have in my possession, Hashem gave it to me as a gift. I'm just a guardian. Somehow it came into my possession, and it's yours. It's not mine. It's yours. I'm not doing you a favor. You are doing me the favor by taking these assets for your organization.
That's completing the obligation.
It's a positive use.
Yeah, exactly the what?
Completing the obligation. A person has in mind, he wants to give something, and by the Kohen taking it, what he's doing is he's taking away that obligation that the person had to give something.
That's a lumbish answer, the very tifa briska answer you just gave. That's way over my head. That's a lot of too much lumbus. You just said would get you in to brisk. Guarantee you. You can go to the highest shear in brisk for saying that answer.
My shul, I collect around the pushka.
What?
I go around the pushka, my shul usually. They tell people thank me for giving them the opportunity.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Not everyone.
It's a mindset. The Torah over here is trying to teach a person you should be in the proper frame of mind. Don't come to the Beis HaMikdash with attitude. Oh, I have an obligation. The Torah said, no, I have an obligation to go give some bikurim. Here I am. Here, Koyein. Who's the balabas here? Who pays the salary? Who's in charge here? I'm the rich man. You just knew you're a malamed. You're a malamed. What do you have? Have some respect for me when I come into the Beis HaMikdash and I give you your bikurim. The Torah says, you come with an attitude and don't even bother coming. You come over here, you have to recognize every penny you have was a gift. And here, that you have an opportunity to give tzedakah, that's a special opportunity that you have. And the way the Torah shows that is that it's the Kohen that's taking it. You're not giving nothing. You're not giving. It's his. The Kohen owns this. You're just a custodian. And the Kohen is taking what's rightfully his. Now, this is very... Let me finish the whole part. This is a very nice idea. But you know, it can be very dangerous. Because when you go with this to the nth degree, it can create an attitude from the perspective of the Kohen, we're entitled. Entitlement. Which is not healthy. And therefore, if you pay very careful attention to Rashi and the next pasuk, you see that Hashem was careful that the Kohanim should not get carried away with the fact that the farmer not take advantage. If you come every single time to pay your tuition and you say, it's not my money, it's Hashem's money, you're the custodian. So the executive in the yeshiva can get a little carried away with himself. That's right, it's my money. Can I come into your house and take even more money? Okay, you owe it to me. It's a dangerous attitude. You take this attitude to its nth degree, it becomes very dangerous from the side of the people who end up getting the money. And you look in Rashi very carefully says, V'lokach, what does it mean, V'lokach ha-koin ha-tenem yodecha? He makes a deacon, V'lokach ha-koin ha-tenem yodecha, V'lokach ha-koin ha-tenem yodecha, Pasuk Dalet, Rashi says, Lehonif also, Kohen meniach yodoi tachas yad ha-ba'olim umeinif. When it says vilokach, it doesn't mean the Kohen grabs it. The Yisrael is giving it. The Yisrael comes. He's holding it. The Kohen, how does he take it? He doesn't take it out of his hands. The Kohen puts his hands underneath the hands of the giver. As if to say, wow. You're coming here and you're telling me it's not mine. I'm just a custodian. Wow. That's very, very kind of you. But, you know, still, I appreciate the fact that you're giving it to me. You may have a very beautiful attitude that you're just a custodian. But from my perspective, you're giving it to me. I'm not going to take it out of your hands. The way I'm going to take it is by putting my hands underneath your hands. So when I receive it, I'm receiving it from your hands. You are the giver. I say to you, thank you very much. You have given me a gift. It's not just when you come to the yeshiva, you say to the executive director, here's $1 million. It's not my money. This money came from Hashem. It's the address was to the executive director. That's right. It's not your money. It's not your money. And you know, you should have given it to me in $100 bills, not in 20s, you know, and they have tightness on you. Why didn't you do this? That's right, it's not your money. What a chutzpah, you come over here when it's not convenient for me. The Torah is saying, no. The giver comes with an attitude, it's not my money. But the receiver has to receive it with an attitude. Thank you very much. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve the gift that you have given me. This is not mine. It's not mine. This is yours. I'm going to take it, but I'm going to take it from your hands. I'm not going to take it out of your hands. I'm going to take it from your hands. I'm going to put my hands underneath your hands.
With your hands.
But it's underneath. The food is in your hands. And I'm going to take it to me while your hands are still holding on to it. Because you may have a very beautiful attitude, but I'm not here to take advantage of your attitude. My attitude towards your attitude is, I disagree. You may be very noble and honorable. I look at it as if you are giving me a gift. That's what the pasuk. And then let's go through, not even finished yet. Oh, next. And then what does the next pasuk say? Excellent, exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. And then what does the next word say? Vihini chayvodu. V'hini choy. Rashi, what's the next Rashi? V'hini choy lefnei mizbach Hashem elokecha. The next words are Pasuk dal v'chavitem yodecha. V'yanisa v'yamarta. Then we go further. Let me find the Rashi. V'hinachtoy. V'hinach, go further. V'hinachtoy. Magid. The Pasuk teaches you shenoit loy achar hanofas hakoyen. You take it back to yourself, and then you put it back on the ground. In other words, a person also has to feel, there's a lot of psychology going on here, that you gave something to the kohen. At the end, after you go through this first step, it's not mine. It's not mine. It's Hashem's. And the Kohen takes it. The Yisrael then takes it in his hands and he holds it and he puts it before the Mizbeach. I'm the giver. I've done something. In other words, it's not healthy for a person to live 100% with an attitude that everything that I have in my possession is not mine. I'm just a custodian. I'm giving you what you're entitled to. A person has to have a shminis shebishminis, as I'll say. A little gaiva, a shtickle gaiva. That's right. I did you a favor. Because if you don't have that shtickle gaiva, I did you a favor, you're not going to have any drive to do it again. To succeed and do a toiva nochamo. You have to have a little satisfaction in life that you've accomplished something and you did something good for someone else. So look at the entire sequence of events, the entire process. It's not real what's going on over here. You come and you give a gift to the Kohen. The first thing the Torah says, don't you dare walk into this Beis HaMikdash if you think you're the Balabas. You walk into this Mokoyim, you come with an attitude that you are nothing. You're just a custodian. Nothing belongs to you. You're just giving what, and therefore you don't take nothing. Let the Kohen's going to be the one that, you don't give. You're not a giver. You're just here, you're just a messenger. You work for the postal department. The Kohen takes what belongs to him. That's the first attitude you come with. The Kohen, the Torah says, watch out! Don't take advantage of this person's good attitude. You don't look at it like that. You look that someone did you a favor. And therefore, when you actually take it, don't just grab it out of his hands. You take it from him by putting your hands underneath his hands. You say to him, no. You did me the favor. I owe you a hakara satoy. Besides my banish loyla.
You give the bikurim directly to the Kohen who's going to eat it, or you give the bikurim to a representative?
It's not so clear. It could be, it depends. There are other factors. It depends on how much there is, what's going on. There are many.
When you give it to a representative, it's more.
There are many variables. It's not so simple. There are many variables, and what the situation is, when, where, how much there is. So it's probably available. Depends on the time. Depends on the circumstances. It can be done many ways, but there's first your attitude, and then there is the attitude of the coin, the recipient, and then the Torah says after we've set the record straight. After we've set the record straight, now the Torah says, listen, I don't want you to walk away depressed, that you're just a nothing in this world. I want you to have a shtickle satisfaction that you've done a good deed. So after we've set the record straight, that you're a nothing, and the Kohen has shown you appreciation, I want you to take it in your hands, and I want you, on your own, to give it. To give it to the Kohen. You do it twice. First you give it to him by having him take it in his hands and you wave it. And then you take it out of his hands and you wave it yourself. And then you put it down before the Mizbeach. Vinach, go further. Vinach toy, go to the next Pasuk. Go to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. And Pasuk Dalet, Vinichoy, Lifnei Mizbeach, Hashem Elokecha. That's the Kohen. But then you pick it up. But right, the Kohen, there are many stages. Let's go through the process. You come into the Beis HaMikdash, you hold the basket in your hand, you do nothing. You're standing like a statue, you do nothing. The Kohen comes over to you, and the Kohen, he puts his hands underneath your hands as an act of acceptance, and he waves it in six directions. Then the Kohen takes it, then the Kohen actually takes it out of your hand at that point.
It's still not his.
It's still not the Kohen's yet. The Kohen takes it out of his hands, and the Kohen then puts it on the floor. Then the Yisrael picks it up from the floor. They go further. V'yoniso v'yamarta. Before v'yoniso v'yamarta, the Yisrael picks it up from the floor. How do I know that? What? How do I know that? He picks it up? Because look at Pasuk Yud. Go down. After the entire thing is all over, it says, V'ata now, after the long reading, Hine Yves Yisrael Shis Pri Adam Asher Nosat Li Hashem V'hi Nachtoi. And then you put it down on the ground. Question, what do you mean? When did it ever get into your hands? In the sequence of the words of the Pasuk, it never said you picked it off the ground. Rashi says, this word, V'hi Nachtoi, is teaching you, guess what? That's right, you're supposed to pick it up before you say this entire psukim. That back in Pasuk Dalet, after the Kohen puts it before the Mizbeach, you are supposed to pick it up again, and you're supposed to wave it while, you're supposed to say the psukim while it's in your hands, and then you alone put it down before the Mizbeach. Okay? So we see the sequence of events?
Yes.
So therefore, the Torah over here is teaching you a frame of mind. You come into the Beis HaMikdash, be in the right frame of mind. Who's doing who the favor? The Kohen is doing you the favor. But the Torah then says to the Kohen, don't take advantage. And then the Torah says to the Yisrael, don't get depressed, don't get carried away with this. Even though you've reached the ultimate level of of viewing yourself as nothing more than an object, but a person is entitled, a person is required to feel good about himself when he does a good deed. And therefore, at the end, I want you to take it and I want you to be the one who gives it at the end. You should feel good about yourself. Why? Because if you're not going to feel good about yourself, you know what the end's going to be? Next thing, you're not coming back. Hey, I'm just a custodian. No, so let why USPS? This FedEx. Let someone else do it. Right? Who needs me? DHL also does a good job. They do better. International, they're probably better than some of the others. Right? What do you need me for? You have to have a shtickle diver. Shminis sheva shminis. There's a three-step process.
The one fulfilled the mitzvah through shliach.
I'm not sure. I don't know the answer. Probably, but I'm not sure. Okay.
It says by Rus, when she had just spent the day taking like a chicken there, and she came back and told Rabbi, "Ish asher asisi imoy, person that I did him." It shows that it's. Belongs stuck to the same thing like here. When you, the attitude has to be that the person that gave tzedakah, it was done a favor to him.
Exactly. It's a very hard madrega. And leads into people taking advantage. And then, but yeah, it has to be a balance. Everything, what Vayu is doing in these three stages is creating the proper balance.
50-50.
Everything in life, not 50-50, it's 100-100. Everything in life is about balance. The three stages create a very unique balance where everything is being done correctly. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now,
the Kohen is getting it.
Ultimately, he's getting it.
But he gets it from whom?
You.
From the floor.
Okay, that's another thing. From the Shulam Zavah. Okay, so there's another level. Let's go a fourth level. Even after he gets it, it's from Hashem, it's not. Many Madregas. All different Madregas. Okay, okay, let's go to another idea. Now, I want to tell you over here a very big Chiddush. This is something over here that's a little bit different. I wonder what you're going to think about this. Now, there's an incredible Targum Yonis Ben Uziel. I think last year we spoke about this in a different context. It says here, when you come to bring Bikurim, who are you giving the Bikurim to? So you're giving it to Yilcharyu, to Pasagil Uvo, So El HaKoyen Asher Yieh Bayomim Mohim. You come to the Koyen Asher Yieh Bayomim Mohim. What does that mean? Whoever's on duty. Okay, you come, the Bikurim begins in Shavuos, the lot of Kohanim, whoever happens to get Mazel. Mazel, whoever's there is there, whatever. You give it to any Koyen that happens to be on duty. Maybe it was a system, not a system. What's Asher Yieh Bayomim Mohim? Targum Yonis and Zeal, now going into a long story, he has one word that he says, who do you give it to? Vos el HaKoyen, to the Koyen Godel. Wow. The Iker Mitzvah of Bikurim is to give Bikurim to not your average Koyen, the Koyen Godel. Targum Yonis ben Uziel, he is obviously picking up on Asher Yieh Bayomim Ohem, Ein L'cho Koin Elasha B'yamecha, the Madrego of the Koin Godol, whatever you got, you got. It's not, it doesn't just mean whoever's on duty, Bayomim. It means something much more significant, and he interprets this to mean the Ikor Mitzvah of Bikurim is to give the Bikurim to the Koin Godol, and to say to the Koin Godol, as Rashi says, She'ein L'cho Kofui Toiv. Why? So I saw the Farshim explain, because it was the Kohen Gadol that was mispalel on Yom HaKippurim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that there should be rain, and everything should be good and fine. We have that beautiful tefillah on Yom HaKippurim, after the Aseder HaVoida on Yom HaKippurim, he was mispalel that it should be a Shana Yeshuma Utelula, it should be just enough rain, not too hot, not too cold, not too much rain, not too little rain. It was his tefillah on Yom HaKippurim that brought about blessing in the land where the produce came forth, and there's fruit and there's produce and we have what to eat, and therefore I want to thank you for your prayers on Yom HaKippurim. The Ikor Bikurim is the Kohen Gadol. Isn't that amazing? Who was the first Kohen Gadol? Aaron HaKohen.
Moshe right now, besides Aaron, we have other leaders in Klal Yisrael. Who are the leaders of Klal Yisrael in the Dor Dea, the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim? How many leaders were there? That was the Zakenim. But let's discuss the Iker leaders in the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim.
The Nasiim?
No, not the Nasiim. I want only the top of the top. So some will say to me, some will say, Moshe. And some will say, Moshe V'Aaron. Right, it says, Moshe V'Aaron. Moshe V'Aaron Nivyecha. No. Both of those answers are not accurate. It's clear as day, when you go through Chazal, that there were three leaders. It's clear as day. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Miriam doesn't get all that attention, because Kol Kivuda Bas Melech Penimo. After Kriyas Yams, Vatikach Miriam es Atoyf B'yod, Vatitzenecho Anosh Macharecho, Besuvim Choylois, Vatan Lehem Miriam, Shiru Lashem, Ki Goyogo O. There's no doubt about it, that the air was in the schus of Miriam. The mon is in the schus of Moshe. The Anani Akavo is in the schus of Aaron. Amram and Yocheved, they had a gift that was priceless. All three of their children were the Manhige Hador. Amram and Yocheved, look what they produced. Three children, three Manhige Hador. It's a team. It's a trial. Rachut ha-mishulosh loy b'mehera yinotek. Okay, this is one Yisrael. It's clear as day. Okay, you go through all the Mefarshim, people don't really appreciate it. We don't spend enough time learning the Mefarshim. Three leaders. Moshe, his role, Aaron, his role, Miriam at her role. Three roles. Moshe was the melech, I guess you would say. Really, pretty much, he acted in the capacity that he was the melech. And Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, obviously. And Miriam served a different capacity. Okay, she was... let's not get into trouble here. She served a quiet role in the background. She was very instrumental in being a leader in Klal Yisrael. And her merit was the Be'er. This is not simple stuff. Okay, the Be'er Miriam. Miriam was Shemifaferes. She was the cause of Moshe's birth, and when the babies were born, she was the one that beautified the children. Shifra upua, okay. Shifra was Yocheved pua. She would speak to the children. She would pacify the children. She had the koyach hadibur in order to calm people down. Don't get excited. Shifra Yocheved would beautify the child, and pua would make sounds to calm the child down. Adults are also babies. Okay, adults also need to be calmed down from their hysterical outbreaks. In life, you need someone to talk to you nicely, calmly, to keep you cool, to keep you. Miriam had a koyach hadibur that Moshe didn't. Moshe didn't have. Moshe complained that you don't have a koyach hadibur. Aaron yeneviecha. Miriam, Aaron was the spokesman, he was the ambassador. But who was the one that probably dealt hands-on with the people? Pua. Miriam, okay, there's a lot to be said about Miriam. Now, what am I trying to say? Put that aside for one moment. The mitzvah, now this is what I'm telling you now, is a yisod which is settled by many, many, many commentators. I love this yisod. It's a very interesting yisod. That is the birch bracha of al hamichya, or more precisely, the bracha me'in sholesh. Al hamichya, or al ha'etz, al ha'gefen, corresponds to the mitzvah of bikurim. For one very simple reason. Because the mitzvah bikurim is for the Shiva Saminim, Rashi here for the first Rashi in the parasha. Mitzvah bikurim only applies to the Shivas Haminim. There's a special Barucha Acharoina that was composed by Chazal for the Shivas Haminim. And that is the Barucha Acharoina. Now, I'll just tell you as a side point. It's very interesting. Now, Halacha Lamais, we eat dessert. No one benches today until after they finish dessert. That's the way when you bench, yeah, you go to a nice meal, go to a wedding, go to a whatever it is, Friday night, whatever it is, and you have a meal, and you have dessert. So what do we all do? We eat, we have dessert. There's a shayla, do you make a bracha rishayna for the dessert? Fruit, cake, ice cream, okay? It's very complicated, there are many different opinions. And then after you have your dessert, you bench. The benching
covers it all. Correct? Yishnah, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Shulchan Aruch Harav, I think the Shulchan Aruch Harav says that's not the way you should conduct your real pasuk like this. But it's not the way you should conduct your meal. You should bench, and then you should make a bracha rishona on every item of your dessert. And then you should make an ala michya, ala eitz. We don't do that because we view it as being a bracha she'eina tzricha. We all make brachas unnecessarily. Shulchan Aruch Rav says it's not a bracha she'eina tzricha. There's a unique bracha you make for fruit, a unique bracha you make, bracha rishona, bracha acharona. Why deny it? It's not a bracha she'eina tzricha. For bread, you make hamotzi, and you recite birchas hamazon. For fruit and for mezonos, you have a special bracha rishona and a special bracha achroina. This is not a bracha she'eina tzricha. They go to these very fancy weddings, they have a Viennese table outside. That's mamash akil of, after they finish benching, you ever go to these very fancy weddings? I don't know if they have such fancy weddings. They bench. And after the benching, in the hall, in a different room, they have a very lavish Viennese table. And there you have to make a new bracha. A new bracha acharoina. So how can you do that? The bracha shen tzricha, you should have had it before. It's a kasha. But according to Shulchan Aruch Rav, no adarava. That's really the way it should be done. Because each item deserves its own special. Chazal formulated in al hamichla. You deserve an al hamichya. There's a need. Now what am I trying to say? Here we go. Birchas hamazon. Birchas hamazon. Who composed Birchas hamazon? The first bracha. According to Benny, Moshe Rabbeinu. So for what? In honor of what?
The
man. So that means when we recite Birchas hamazon, we are really paying tribute to who? To Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the second bracha? Who composed the second bracha?
Yeshua.
Yeshua was the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu. Who composed the third bracha? David Shlomo. Malchus. It's Malchus across the board. Moshe Vayiv Yeshurun Melech. Noidelcha Yeshua. The next Melech. The next successor. The third bracha is David Shlomo. Malchus. So when we are reciting Birchas HaMazon, we're really paying tribute to Malchus. When you recite Al Hamichya, which is on the Zion meaning, which corresponds to Bikurim, and there are many rayos to this, which not for now, we won't give a whole show, we won't spend a lot of time on this, but not for now. Bikurim is corresponds to Bikurim. Who is Bikurim a tribute to? Uvasa El HaKoyen Asher Yihyeh Bayomim Mohem. Who's the Koyen? HaKoyen HaGadol. When you recite Al Hamichya, you're paying tribute to the second manig of Klal Yisrael, Aaron HaKoyen. And there's a third brach. Borei nefoshois rabois. V'ches shroinon. Al kol ma sheborosa, or shebora, lahachiyois bohem nefesh kol chai. That's a bracha that pays tribute to Miriam. Miriam was poor. She was the one in the first choice rabbis, the chesron, when they were born, she provided what they needed. I'll call lahachayos bohem nefesh kol chai. The whole Klal Yisrael was raised by Miriam. She disobeyed a direct order of Paro to murder the newborns, and instead she provided lahachayos bohem nefesh kol chai. Rashi there says, and the reward of raising Klal Yisrael from you will come out malchus batei kahuna batei levia, because you went with mekayim lahachayos bohem nefesh kol chai. So it comes out something really amazing when you recite the complete complement of brachos on food, which the Shulchan Aruch Rav says you should. Every meal, he holds, we don't do this. We, halacha l'mayis, don't get me wrong, we do not accept halacha. We do not. We recite Birchas HaMazon, we do not do anything else. It will be viewed as a bracha shenetzricha. But he says, no, if you have a meal with dessert, you should bench, and then you recite lu brachas, and you have an opportunity to recite the Al HaMikra, and an opportunity to recite the Bari Nefashos, and when your meal is over, you've recited a whole complement of brachas. Birchas HaMazon, a bracha me'in shalosh, and a Bari Nefashos. You have paid tribute to Moshe Rabbeinu, Malchus. You've paid tribute to the Kohen HaGadol, Aaron HaKohen, and you've paid tribute to the third man, Higo, of Klal Yisrael, Miriam HaNeviah. All the three brachos, Zeh, Le'uma, Zeh. Now let's take this deal to go another angle, whole different idea. The mitzvah, the bracha of Al HaMichya, we just finished explaining, corresponds to Bikurim. What is Bikurim all about? Hakoras HaToiv, that Hashem has given us Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says in Rashi. V'hoya ki savoy el ha'oretz. Rashi, magid, sheloy nischayvu bibikurim ad shekovshu es ha'oretz v'cholku Eretz Yisrael. If we go look through the entire nusach of Al HaMichya, it's interesting how we can suggest, al derech drush, we are going from the Kodesh HaKadoshim all the way out to the entire world. Let me explain what I mean. First of all, let's appreciate that the reason why we have a Beis HaMikdash comes in the merit of three people: Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham called the Beis HaMikdash a har. Yitzchak called it a sode. And Yaakov called it a bais. Famous, everyone knows this chazal. Rashi quotes chazal. Avram called it a har, v'har Hashem yiroya. Yitzchak, v'yetze Yitzchak l'suach basode. And Yaakov, v'hoya, v'evin ha'azoyz, shesamti matzvayiye, beis elokim. Three of us, in the schus of all them together, we have the total picture. Har, the har, the bais, and the har, the sode, and the bais. In the Beis HaMikdash, there are really three major components. There is the Kodesh HaKodashim, there is the Heichel, and there is the Azara. Right? These are the three major portions. In whose Zuchus do we have the Kodesh HaKodashim? I want to suggest it's Yaakov. What's in the Kodesh HaKodashim? The Aron. What is the Aron? The Torah. Titin Emes LiYaakov. Yaakov Avinu is Emes. Emes Knorvi Al Timkar. Yaakov is Ish Emes. Yaakov was Tomun in the Beis Medrash of Shem V'Eder. Yaakov is always associated with Torah in Chazal. What is the middle portion? The middle portion is the Shulchan, the Menorah. This is Kneged Yitzchak. Okay, it's a little bit more difficult, but when it talks about Rivka, when he married Rivka, so it says there that the shemen, the ner was dolok mishabbos l'shabbos. Yitzchak, okay, it's a little bit of a stretch, but let's leave it with that. And the Azora is the more expansive portion of the Beis HaMikdash, the lesser holy portion, that is Kneged Avraham. It's stages. Avraham established the Azora. Yitzchak gave more kedusha into the Heichel, and Yaakov comes the Makkah Lepatish, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Baruch of Al HaMichya, look at the Nusach. The Nusach begins, we thank Hashem, let's use the for Michya, Al HaMichya V'Al HaKalkola. What does that refer to? The Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because what truly sustains us in this world? Torah. The true lechem, luchu lachamu bilachmi. Go out and wage war with my bread. Torah is called bread. Torah is what sustains us. Where is the Torah located? It's located in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Al HaMichya V'Al HaKol, we thank Hashem for the Kodesh HaKodoshim. And then V'Al Tenuvas HaSodeh. What's the Sodeh? That's Yitzchak.
Vayetze Yitzchok losuach basode. What part of the Beis Hamikdash corresponds to the sode? The heichal, the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbech haketores. V'al eretz chemda toivu urechava. The wide, expansive portion of the Beis Hamikdash, the Azara. We thank Hashem for that. That is Keneged Avraham. Then, Sheret Sisa ben Chaltal Avosenu. These three things that we just said are Avosenu, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Lechol Mipirvus from Mituva. And then we say, what about, that's only the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichol, and the Azara. What about Yerushalayim? Rachim Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael Nechov Yal Yerushalayim Yirecho. Don't forget about Yerushalayim, the next expansive area. Yal Tzion Mishkan Kavodecho Yal Mizbech Bechlecho. And then we respond, we build the Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and then we wind down Ki Ata Hashem Toiv Meitiv Lechov Nelecho Al Ha'oretz for the entire Eretz Yisrael. And then after you finish Yal HaMichu, you say Bori Nefashos, Rabbi Svechetra, Al Kol Masha Bara, the whole world. So you take these two brachos together, and you thank Hashem, you're thanking Hashem, you're starting at the epicenter of the world. You're starting with the Mokoyim of true sustenance, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Luchu lachmi b'lachmi al hamichya v'al hakalkola. It's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'al tenuvas hasode. The sode needs a little more calibration to define why we're calling the heichol the sode. It's connected Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the sode. We thank Hashem for the heichol. V'al eretz chemda toivu rechava. The wide, expansive portion of the Beis Hamikdash is the Azara. And then we go on and we say, Rachim no Hashem Elokeinu al Yisrael Nechov al Yerushalayim. Let's go further into the city of Yerushalayim. And then the bracha ends off. Hashem, we thank you. Ki atoivu meitiv lakol v'nodlcha al ha'oretz. Not just for Yerushalayim. The whole Eretz Yisrael. What about America? What about America? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam. Bari nefashos rabbis. Look at all these funny people out there in America. Democrats, Republicans, lots of neshad, nefashos rabbis, v'chesroinon. They're all missing a couple of screws. They all are in need of quite a bit of improvement. But Hashem knew. Nevertheless, we all got problems. Al kol ma sheborosa, the ganze Welt. Not just Eretz Yisrael, hachayos bohem nefesh kol chai. And then we're not even finished. Just this world. What about Mars? What about the moon? Baruchei ha'olamim. Hashem is all over the place. Not just in this world. In all worlds. Hashem is wherever you go, you find Hashem. We go from the epicenter, the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Mokom of the Luchos, the Mokom HaShuras HaShchina, it radiates to the Heichel, the Azara, to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael, to the ganze Welt, and beyond. Beyond Baruch Hei Ha'olam. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the produce of the field. Some want to say, Shaloike Halacha, that if you eat vegetables, you might say a vegetable by making an al hamichya, because when you say al hamichya, you say tenuvas hasodeh. So on a vegetable, you don't make a bari nefashos, you make an al hamichya, because an al hamichya you're going to say al tenuvas hasodeh. That is shaloike halacha. That is incorrect, but there is. It's used. It's discussed. It's discussed. Why not? Why is not tenuvas hasod a fulfillment of ha'adamah? But it means the produce of the earth. Okay, let's discuss very quickly, briefly, a little bit about the toichecha. There are 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we discussed this week. There are 2 days. Why are there 2 days Rosh Hashanah? Why? One day is not enough. So we don't really. It's very mystical. Besides the pasuk shat of the
the ma'aseh that happened in the Beis HaMikdash when the Eidim came late, whatever, besides the technical reasons, but there are Kabbalistic reasons as why it's necessary for there to be 2 days Rosh Hashanah even in Eretz Yisrael where there is no Sfeika D'Yoyma. And that's what this mystical principle called Dina Kosher and Dina Rafia. When Hashem made this world, the original plan was Allah b'machshavta libra osai b'midas hadin. And Hashem saw the world would not survive a day with midas hadin, so he was mishtatev to midas hadin midas harachamim. The first day, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem judges this world with midas hadin based on plan A. Plan A. And this world fails miserably. But Hashem tries, you know, Hashem, you got to give Hashem credit. Hashem's original plan was midas hadin. It's dina kosher. It is impossible to survive the din on day one. First day Rosh Hashanah, brace yourself. No one's going to make it. There's no way you can be oimed, a person can withstand the harshness of midas hadin. But if Hashem was Allah b'machshavtoi libra osoi b'midas hadin, it has to be a din, and there has to be a yoyim hadin of midas hadin, whether you like it or not. That's the blueprint of this world. Hashem b'yoyim b'roi Hashem Elokim. There's a yudke vavke, and there's Elokim. So that's the way it is. The part of the DNA of this world is midas hadin. Therefore, there's a yoyim hadin. And what operates on the Yoyim Hadin is Midas Hadin. That's day one. Dina Kosher. No one can survive that. So Hashem Rachmanis on us. He gave us a second day, Rosh Hashanah, Dina Rafia. Easy. Easy as pie. Midas Harachamim. But by the way, the Midas Harachamim is only as good as our will to be successful on the Midas Hadin. So we don't just go to sleep on day one. Okay, obviously, now this is all Kabbalistic again, which I really have no idea what I'm saying. I'm just saying all the words to you. But this is what it says in the books. These ideas, again, I have no idea what this means. All the Mepharshim say this. Dina Sadin, the Bnei Soscha talks about it, Bnei Soscha elaborates on Bnei Soscha. Dina Kosher and Dina Rafia. Now, there are two Toichachos in the Torah. Bnei Soscha says this. He actually says another thing. He says everything I just said, Bnei Soscha says. The Rei Sosma says there are two toichas in the Torah. There is the toicha before Parshas, in Parshas Kichu Kosai, and the toicha in Parshas Kisova. The toicha in Parshas Kichu Kosai is a very harsh toicha. Rashi on the Pasuk of here says that Moshe's toicha is much lighter than the toicha of Toras Koyan. For various reasons, different reasons why it's lighter. Here, Moshe is talking, so Moshe is only a human being. Moshe goes easy. But the Toicha is a much harsher. The Bnei Yisoschar says, just like there are two dinim, Dina Kosher, Dina Rafia, before there is din, there is Toicha. The Toicha of Bichu Kosai is the Toicha that precedes the first day Rosh Hashanah, the Dina Kosher. The Toichich of Parshas Kisavai is the Toichich that comes before Dina Rafia. The Toichich of this week's Parsha is a lightweight Toichich. Hashem's name appears 26 or 27 times in this Toichich. Yudkei Vavkei, it's Rachamim. The Toicha in Parshas Kisavai, in Bukhkoisai, Hashem's name does not appear even once. Yudkei Vavkei does not appear even once. It's kosher. Chazal tell us, we lay the two Toichachos before the two Rosh Hashanah. Why? Tichle Shana v'kilaloi seva. The first Rosh Hashanah is called Shavuos, Matan Torah, and the second Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei. The Bnei Yisoschar, it's not what he says exactly, but what he seems to be saying is, I'm trying to maybe go a little bit way out here, is that the truth is, when we're laying the Toichacha before Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say anywhere that Shavuos is the Rosh Hashanah. I mean, it says in Chazal, Rosh Hashanah, but why is that so significant? The truth is, that Toicha that we read then was really a beginning of preparation for the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The Toicha of Kisov was a preparation for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. You lay in the Toicha before Rosh Hashanah. It's considered already before Rosh Hashanah, before Shavuos. Why? It's not. On the calendar, it's not. That's exactly the point. The first day Rosh Hashanah is Din HaKosher. When Hashem made this world, you know, if you want to get by in this world, you can get by. Just sit back and just relax and do nothing. Don't work very hard. Not in Ruchnias, not in Gashmias. Go on some government programs and just, just get by. Get by. If you want to accomplish something, you got to really work hard. You want to bring the Shekhinah down to this world. You want to bring Hashem Shekhinah to this world. You want to bring the Torah from Shemayim and bring it to this world. You got to really earn it. You got to really work. The first day Rosh Hashanah is really borrowing from the ultimate achievement of accomplishment in this world. And that is Yom HaShishi. That the whole world was in limbo if Klal Yisrael would accept the Torah on Shishi B'Sivan, the Kabbal the Torah. This is achievement. The first day Rosh Hashanah defines man's success, the ability to truly, truly accomplish. If you want to find a dogma of true success in the big picture of things, it's Shavuos. Because Shavuos is when man was successful in accomplishing the ultimate accomplishment of bringing Hashem Shekhinah into this world. Before you merit such an accomplishment, you need some mussar. It's a din, and you need to perfect yourself. And that mussar is kosher, is very, very harsh. When it comes to the second day Rosh Hashanah, the second day is not a matter of accomplishment. It's a matter of survival. Tishrei, man was created. Big deal. Man was the man's birthday. Happy birthday. That's what happens on Rosh Hashanah. Man was, and now, so, I was created. Now what? Nothing. You're created. Go to the park and have a good time. So what you created? Survive. Just survive. Get through the day. That's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is survival. Hashem created man. Now what? Oh, now I have to go bring the Torah down from Shemayim. That was Shavuos. That was accomplishment. But just surviving, that is Rachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For that, you need Musar also. You just can't do whatever you want in this world. You just can't go and run around without a head on your shoulders. You need Musar. But that Musar is lightweight Musar. So we're trying to explain over here is these two toichachas are a team. The first toichacha is very harsh. The second toichacha is very light. There are two days Rosh Hashanah. The first day Rosh Hashanah is Midas Hadin. The second day Rosh Hashanah is Midas Harachamim. The toichacha b'chukoysa is a hakdama to the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The toichacha of Kisavai is a hakdama to the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And what's the Musar Haskel? That if you want to accomplish something very significant in life, it doesn't come easy. You have to work. You have to work very hard. You need to go through the test of the toichacha of the first of Parshas Bichu Koisai, the first toichacha, which is a very harsh toichacha. Okay, winding down. We have in Parshas the you have to appreciate that the two toichachas are really a team. The truth is, the second toichacha, all the farshim ask, the first toichacha, we find the chama. At the end of the toichacha, Hashem gives us words of comfort. In the toichacha of Parashas Kisava, there's no nechama. It's just all harsh. Where's the nechama, the comfort? The emes is, the whole toichacha is a nechama of Kisava. Is a nechama for the first toichacha. Why do we say that? If you look very carefully, Mamash, one down, then one more minute. In the first Torchacha, if you notice over and over, it says the reason why you're going to suffer is you're not observant of the Shabbos. And the Shabbos doesn't just mean Shabbos Kodesh, it means Shabbos in its entirety. Shemitah, v'hishbis eshapsoy seha. The pasuk there says, over, if you're not going to observe, the holding begins, the Torchacha begins after Shemitah. If you're not going to observe the Shemitah, then this is going to happen, and everything that's mentioned there goes in cycles of seven. Seven, there are 49 klolas. Seven times seven. There are cycles, there are seven cycles of klola, seven times seven. And the psukim go over, over, the hishbos eshap soiseha, when the Torchacha will be fulfilled, and you'll go into exile, finally the land will have Shabbos, because you are not Shabbos observers. In any sense of the word, Shabbos represents the hakar that Hashem is the creator. It is fascinating, the Rekeach says, I'm holding this for you. The Rekeach says, how many times, in the average person in the street, how many times does it say Hashem's name in the Teichacha of Parashas Kitzavai?
He said 26, no?
26. You'll count 26. The Rekeach says, wrong. Then 27. How do you know? Because, well, I'm not even sure he says that. He says that the Teichacha, he says, has 775 words. It's not true. It has less. The only way you can find in the Teichacha 775 words is if you count the last pasuk. Eile, which seems to be not part of the Teichacha. Eile, Devrei Habris. Asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe lechreis es b'nei Yisrael be'eretz Moyav b'lvar habris asher koras itam lechoyrev. The fact that it's separated by a parasha stuma, but the fact that the Rekeach says there are 775 words, obviously he holds that this last pasuk is included in the Teichacha. If that is correct, there are not 26 references to Hashem's name, there are 27 references to Hashem's name. 27 multiplied by Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is 26 is exactly, anyone quick look with their fingers? 702. Shabbos is Begematria 702. The Teichacha of Parshas Bichu Koisai is all in punishment for not appreciating Shabbos. The Oz, as the Teichacha says explicitly, you know why it's going to happen all to you. The Oz, in order to let the land finally hishbis, eshap soiseha. Finally, the land will have the rest that it deserves. The whole Teichacha is defined as a violation, a punishment for a violation of not appreciating Shabbos in all of its dimensions. Hashem's name is not mentioned. Parshas Kisavai is a Teichacha. But in the Teichacha, there's not a silver lining, there's a gold lining. Because in the Teichacha, Hashem's name appears 27 times. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. 27 times Hashem's name is Shabbos. Hashem will bring you the Shabbos. It's a nechama. In Bichur Koisai, you didn't appreciate the Shabbos. I have to punish you. But I'm going to punish you delicately. And in the punishment, the delicate punishment, you will begin to feel and sense the Kedusha of Shabbos. We may not see how this is so, but we have Emunah. Hashem is Mahapech Kilala Livracha. The Teichacha of Kisava is Kul Bracha. Hashem is bringing the Kiddush of Shabbos upon Klal Yisrael. The end, the ultimate Nechama are the last words of this parasha. You cannot get a better Bracha in the whole Torah like what it says in the last words of this parasha. Leman taskilu eis kol asher ta'asun. What does it mean, taskilu? It means to be wise,
and successful. Look at what it says in the Targum. Bedil de titzlichun. Success. Yos kol di dat havdun. The end of this parsha is the ultimate nechama. Hashem is giving us a bracha of success. A year of hatzlocha. Hatzlocha includes everything. Yir shamayim, good health. Parnasa shaduchim. Nachas bracha. Kein yielanu ashana toiva umesukal lanu l'chol Yisrael. Hi.